with liberty. Okay, roll call, and let's see here. We have Jennifer Derosius. We have Jason Miller. We have Ray Bowers. We have our enforcement officer, Sarah Kelly. We have our consulting engineer, Ryan McAvoy. I believe Mark Garfalo will let us in. And we have Brian Baker representing Splash Car Wash. And let's see, we have a couple other people in attendance with the public. Next and item on the agenda. And myself, Paul Denise, yes. The next item on the agenda, number four, is an application submitted by Splash Management LLC for property owner 500 NHA LLC, location 500 New Haven Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. Purpose of the proposed activity: to repurpose the existing commercial site for conversion from a fast food use to a proposed drive-in car wash facility. And Brian, are you going to represent them and start the presentation?
Yes, yes. For the record, Brian Baker with Civil One, a licensed engineer in the state of Connecticut. And also with me, we have Jason Frank from Splash Management LLC. If there are questions that come up regarding the operation, what I'd like to do is share my screen and give you a brief overview of the project. And then since our initial submission, we did get a review letter in from Ryan, which earlier this afternoon, I submitted electronic revised copies and a response letter to the seven items that were listed in his letter. So, am I allowed to share the screen? You know? All right, let's hit that. Okay, so what you have before you, I'm gonna go through this updated plan set. For those of you that have looked at the previous set that was submitted, it's going to look fairly identical. The revisions and tweaks per Ryan's letter were relatively minor, but I'll go through them sort of sheet by sheet to show you what the project is and what we're doing. So the cover sheet in the application set does have an area map on it. The property is 500 New Haven Avenue. The specific area of that property is lease pad number two, which is down in the southeast corner of the property. You will recognize or remember it as the property that has the Lowe's Home Improvement, the Dunkin' Donuts out in front, and the pad area that we're working on was what used to be Burger King, the Burger King site on the corner of New Haven Ave and Sodom Lane. So the first thing we did was to do an updated survey on the property. Topographic and property line survey on the area within the lease pad. So you can see, and some of you were probably on the commission a couple of years ago when we were before you and we had to replace that aluminum arch culvert under the driveway. It happens to be this location right here. That's the driveway between the Lowe's and what was the Burger King site. So this is existing conditions. It's all paved. Here's the Burger King building. You have sanitary sewer that runs through the site, services the site. We also have currently, basically the drainage is split down the middle and you have a series of catch basins and pipes that run into Two Mile Brook along the north side of the lease area. On both sides, basins and pipes that run without any sort of stormwater treatment currently. Into the Brook area. Second page we've got is your what we call a demolition plan. So we're basically going to saw cut the pavement because this area is going to be reworked in here. The building's going to be removed. We indicate in areas where areas that are circled with an X are items that are going to be removed. Others that are circled without an X are items that are going to be protected and either left in place or relocated slightly. So this is sort of the meat of the application. You can see basically we're holding the same edge of pavement and curbing location that currently exists at that northern side of the lease area, which goes into the Dunkin' Donuts area. It will be modified in that, as you saw in the previous plan, this was almost all parking. Now we're going to have some additional grass and landscaping area. The net result is about a 10% decrease in impervious surface within the lease pad area. So the way it's designed to operate, customers come in, there will be signage here that if you want to go to the Dunkin' Donuts, you stay in the right lane. If you want to come to the Splash Car Wash, you stay in the left lane, come in. There are automated pay stations here. So you would pay there, enter the car wash, and then you can leave the site and or pull into the parking area that has the vacuum locations. There's also bathrooms and the vending machines inside the building itself. Building's almost in the exact same size and location as the Burger King was here in that southern section of the site. So this is a site plan. It gives you an idea, you know, the surface treatments, how the parking's going to be laid out, et cetera. And then you would get into the grading, drainage, and utility plan. So as I mentioned previously, there were just catch basins with piping and no treatment under the current condition. What we're proposing is there's two new catch basins to be added along the western side. Those are going to have 4-foot deep sumps and hooded outlets on them. And that was a revision in accordance with the recommendation by Ryan, which we agree with. And then along the eastern side, a catch basin to catch this parking area, tie into the existing catch basin location. And then down here, this catches the majority of the parking and pavement and building. We're going to propose a hydrodynamic oil grit separator to replace what is just a standard catch basin here. And that's designed to remove in excess of 80% of your total suspended solids, you know, based upon the area that's draining into it. We also have a landscaping plan. I'm sorry, I should indicate that your actual area of wetlands is along the edge of the 2 Mile Brook here. And this red line here is your actual regulated area. So while the majority of the activity takes place outside of the regulated area, as I mentioned, and the curbing location will remain the same as far as what's in the regulated area. So there's no additional impervious surface or encroachment towards the water course with the proposed improvements. And then I'll go through. So that's basically, in a summary, the additional pages that you have in your report are the, you know, a profile running around the center line of the driveway going around the building, typical details, construction details that are going to be used, and then an erosion control narrative and sequence of construction for the contractor to follow. And then I'd like to go through the revisions per Ryan's review for you. So as I mentioned previously, his comment number one was that we either provide another hydrodynamic separator along this section of drainage or do 4-foot deep sumps with hooded outlets. We've chosen to do that, and we've shown that on both of these basin locations, both in the plan view and then in the detail that is on sheet C5.1. Second comment had to do with the storm drainage areas in the drainage report. Let's see here. So basically, we have a drainage area map showing where these each catch basin gets a certain amount of drainage from the site. This line here was a little further to the east. It didn't coincide with the high point in the grading. So we had done a drainage area and then tweaked the grading a little bit. So basically a little more drainage area from STDA-1 went into STDA-4. So we updated the map, also updated the corresponding pipe calculations, and the pipe sizes don't change. comment was a request that we provide a detail for this oil hydrodynamic separator. It's a swirl concentrator. The previous detail provided had a closed inlet top, but this is supposed to have a grate. So we asked we provide a detail to include the correct grate and cover for inlet, which we have done on sheet C5.1. Fourth comment was in the engineering report, we had stated that the existing curbing and pavement adjacent to the brook would be held as the limits of improvements. That wasn't entirely accurate because there is an association with replacing that curbing and the handicap space that we're proposing here. There is a minor amount of grading behind the curb. So we corrected the narrative to clarify that there would be some grading there. We do have silt fence along with reinforced hay bales behind that proposed grading. Which leads me to, that was comment number five, was the recommendation to back up the silt fence with staked hay bales along the top of the grade here adjacent to the river, which we have done. I'm number six. He asked us to just, we had updated the plans for the planning and zoning submission to include this. It's basically a water recycling system that is used for the car wash. What that does, it takes the water from the car wash, recycles it. They're basically larger. They're each 2,000 gallon oil grit separators that are used, and then you separate out some of that grit, and then that water can be reused in the car wash, which limits your overall water usage. It's not a storm drainage issue in that this all goes to sanitary sewer. But so that's what the we wanted to explain what those were. These are to deal with the discharge coming from the wastewater from the car wash, which goes out into the sanitary sewer. We've already met with WPCA there's no issue there. We've come to an agreement on the fees for connection, and they'll be approving it at their next meeting. And lastly, there was some discussion about we have a concrete curb divider here that is within the regulated area, and that's to direct the traffic, as I mentioned, to both Dunkin' Donuts and to the car wash. As we work our way through planning and zoning, there may be some consideration given as to whether that is a painted island versus a curbed island. We came up with the curbed island. Obviously, there's a number of parties involved in an application like this. You've got the owner of the property, 500 NHA LLC. You've got Dunkin' Donuts. You've got Lowe's. There have been discussions amongst all of the parties, and this was the preferred design that came out of those meetings. So we did add a break in here in the island with a gate so that it could be open for either emergency access or after hours maintenance. And that was done at the request of the property owner as part of the PNZ submission. So with that, in summary, it's the adaptive reuse of a commercial parcel that's sitting, not doing anything right now. We're decreasing the impervious surface. There's no additional activity that would be any detriment inside the regulated area. and we're providing stormwater treatment for the facility that doesn't currently exist. So it's a net benefit for post-development stormwater, both flow and treatment. And we'd certainly be happy to answer any questions that you have from the site plan side. And then, as I mentioned, Jay is here if you have any questions on sort of the operations side for Splash.
Do any of the agency members have any questions of Brian?
No, sounds like they're taking the good precautions.
Okay, I had a few questions.
I don't have any right now.
With regard to your actual process of washing, where do you stand with DEEP in terms of your the washing of the car process?
Brian, I can chime in here. Good evening. My name is Jason Frank. I'm one of the operations managers for Splash Car Wash. So DEEP in 2021 has changed their process for car washes. We used to have a general car wash discharge permit. They have since changed that to a miscellaneous industrial user permit, or it's actually a notification form, and we work in conjunction with the local WPCA for that. So as part of constructing this car wash, there's certain criteria for the oil grit separator that needs to be met, that will be met as part of the project to assure that we meet the criteria. And there's inspections throughout the process that go along. In that. So the tank has to be minimum 2,000 gallons off the top of my head. It has to be a coated sealed tank. So it'll meet all of those specifications. And we've already discussed it with the Derby WPCA.
With regard to cars that have been washed, there are a last stage drying process, or do they just pull out of the
they just pull out of the exit at a car wash. So this is going to be an express exterior car wash. It's got some new kind of state-of-the-art equipment in it, and air dryers that work really well to shear most of the water off of the vehicle before it leaves. So there won't be any drying or staging area, and the cars will be a finished product when they exit the car wash tunnel.
And what kind of soaps and detergents do you use for those cars?
So everything is biodegradable. We use a new chemical company called Lustra. We also still use some Simonized products, but we've been, our West Haven location is right against the West River. Our property line is the actual river itself, and we're with the Connecticut DEEP there quite a bit, and they're satisfied with our chemistry and everything that we're doing there, and we'll be the same here as well.
Brian, do you have anything to add in terms of your review and how they addressed your issues?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to, for purposes of full disclosure, let the agency know that my firm has worked with the applicant in the past for other Splash Car Wash locations around Connecticut. I personally have not worked with the applicant, but our firm has, and as a result of our relationship with the city and our role with the city, we declined to work on this project when the applicant approached us. So I just want to let everyone to know that in case there's a perception of a conflict. But I certainly don't believe that there's any on my end. I don't believe that to be the case. With that in mind, we did produce a comment letter, and I didn't get a chance to thoroughly review Mr. Baker's revised submission, but based on his testimony and what I see tonight, it certainly looks like they've addressed those issues. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe because state statute technically requires the agency to consider all the items submitted a day before a meeting, that this revised documents could be would have to be considered a post-approval under post-approval conditions. So I did draft a motion for you to consider tonight, which includes a condition that they meet some of the items in my comment letter, although I don't doubt that they've done that with this revised plan.
Okay, are there any other questions from any other agency members?
Is Brothers 4 around the corner, that car wash closing?
I don't believe they're closing. Let me chime
it in. My name is Nicholas Magnata. I don't believe Four Brothers is closing, seeing that we just purchased it. The closing was last week, and we'll be redesigning the place, kind of similar to what Splash is proposing, an exterior express car wash. We already have our general wastewater permits and everything in place, so we won't be sitting in front of a council to be going over this. But yes, that facility is still in operation, and we'll be getting redone momentarily.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious. Obviously, they're close together. That's all. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments on the application from the agency members?
I have none.
No questions here.
Ryan, you're all set?
Yes.
Okay, and Ryan, do you want to read your proposed, approval? Motion?
Good, Ryan.
Hold on, I'm trying to pull it up, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I had it up. Are you with me? Okay. Motion that the City of Derby Inland Wetlands Agency, DIWA, having considered the factors pursued to Section 10 of the regulations, and after review of written and verbal information provided by the applicant, agency members, and city staff, finds the following. In November of 2011, Splash Management Group, LLC, submitted application number 2111-1001 for activities within 50 feet of the wetlands and a water course at 540 New Haven Avenue. The activities are associated with the demolition of existing fast food restaurant and constructing a new car wash facility. Two, the limits of the wetlands have been delineated by David Lord, certified soil scientist, as part of a culvert replacement in 2019. Three, there will be no direct wetland impacts and 0.15 acres of disturbance within the 50-foot regulated upland review area for the purpose of removing and replacing the existing asphalt and installation of temporary sediment controls. Four, that this activity is not a significant activity in accordance with the definition of significant activity as found in the regulations and will require a summary ruling. Five, sedimentation and erosion control measures have also been incorporated into the design, including sediment filter fence, construction entrance pads, inlet protection, et cetera, to limit the potential for sediment and erosion sediment to enter into the 2 Mile Brook. Six, information was provided by the applicant, city staff, and agency members during the regular meeting held on December 8, 2021. Therefore, the agency moves to approve the application as presented and shown on the following documents submitted. I'm not going to go through them, but there are items 1 through 5. And bear with me for 1 second, and I will pull up the other part of the conditions, which somehow didn't make it into your packet. Okay, so the submitted documents are numbers 1 through 7, which include the plans, reports, et cetera, that were submitted last month. I did not include them in the reference documents. So in addition to the requirements listed in sections 11.9, 12, and 13 of the regulations, the following stipulations also apply. One, lack of compliance with any stipulations, permit approval shall constitute a violation of the regulations, and a cease and desist order shall be issued by the wetland enforcement officer. Two, the site plans and engineering reports shall be revised to incorporate the recommendations and comments numbers 1 through 5, 1 through 3, 5, and 6 in the comment letter from SLR International Corporation dated December 12, 2021. Three, any further changes or modifications to the application presented shall be submitted to the DIWA to determine if additional review and approval is necessary. Four, prior to any construction activities covered by this permit, the applicant shall have the following items, both completed by a qualified party and verified as complete by the city engineer, corporation counsel, and or wetland enforcement officer. Subsection A. Pursuant to section 12 of the regulations, a bond covering the cost of the S&E control measures, including the stabilization, shall be filed by the city clerk. The amount and form of the bond shall be approved by the city engineer and corporation counsel. B, arrange for the filing of this approval on the Derby land records. C, prior to any clearing or earth moving activities, the proper installation of all sediment erosion control measures indicated on the above referenced plans. Five, all maintenance and refueling of equipment and vehicles shall be performed at least 50 feet or as far from practical from all wetlands and watercourses. Six, after commencement of construction, an inspection of the condition, integrity, and adequacy of the S&E controls shall be made by a qualified party on a regular basis, at least once every 7 calendar days and within 24 hours of the end of a storm event that is half an inch or greater, and until the city of Derby determines the inspections are no longer required. Seven, the WEO, city engineer, or any other duly authorized representative of the city shall have the authority to direct the applicant, developer, and or contractor to install additional S&E measures as conditions may warrant. Eight, a contact individual together with a 24-hour phone number shall be designated with responsibility and authority to receive notices of any breaches or deficiencies of S&E controls on site and to coordinate repair of any such breach or deficiencies within 8 hours of the notice from the sediment erosion control inspector, WEO, city engineer, or other duly authorized representative of the city. Nine, the agency's decision to grant this approval makes no warranties or representations, either express or implied, that future regulated activities will be permitted on this site. 10, per section 18.5 of the regulations, the DIWA approves the application as a summary ruling, and the applicant shall pay a fee of $200 to the City of Derby Finance Office. That is the draft, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the proposed motion?
No.
If there's no discussion, we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the proposal as written up by Ryan.
Is there a second? I'll second.
We have a first and a second. Any discussion? Okay, there's no discussion. All those in favor of the proposed motion signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any nays or abstentions? Okay, the motion passed unanimously. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let me see if I can bring up my agenda. Public portion of the meeting. Is there anyone from the public that wants to? I know there are a few people in the room with us here. Is there anyone from the general public that wants to make a statement or address the agency? Okay, there being none, we'll go to item number 6, an informal discussion, stormwater basin inspections. And I'm assuming it's either Ryan or Sarah that's going to bring that up.
Want me to take it, Sarah?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So at the request of the mayor's office and the Planning and Zoning Commission, we undertook an inspection of several of the stormwater basins in the city that are that collect runoff from city roads and detain and treat stormwater runoff. There were 7 in particular that we looked at, which include basins off Genetti Drive, off Lilac Circle, Woodland Walk, Lanzieri Court, Frank Gates Lane, and General Wooster Road, which is also behind Town Fair Tire. And lastly, off of E. Bassett Lane on the west side of the city. So we prepared inspection reports that I forwarded to the chairman as we completed them. Many of them had recommendations for removal of overgrowth, and also many of them had recommendations for removal of sediment that's accumulated within the basins themselves. And one in particular, we have a recommendation of modification of the outlet structure that's on Lansbury Court. So we've submitted all these to the various homeowners associations or ownership groups that own these basins and are responsible for maintenance of these basins. Many of them, the city has the responsibility or the right to enter up into these structures to clean and maintain them in the event that the homeowners association fails to do so. And just about all these, I believe, were approved as part of a wetlands application because many of them are located either partially within or adjacent to flagged wetland locations. So the reason why I Sarah and I wanted this to be placed on your agenda is in particular, we want to know if the agency wishes to review any of these in an application format, or if there's any desire by agency members to take a look at these informally in more detail. I believe that these stormwater structures ought to be maintained regularly, and that maintenance requires going in them often. The State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection and the Army Corps of Engineers tend to not regulate these basins as wetlands per se because of their function as a stormwater management facility. Various towns and communities throughout the state do have wetlands commissions and agencies that do wish to review these in more detail. I can tell you that this work needs to be completed one way or the other at some point for all of these in some capacity or another. So I was wondering what the flavor of the commission or the agency is in terms of reviewing these in more detail, or if regular maintenance such as mowing, clearing of vegetation on the berms on the side slopes of the basin, and removal of sediment within the bottom would be considered normal maintenance and not something that you would necessarily want to review.
Who's going to be doing the maintenance? Is it going to be the city or the property owner?
To be determined.
It'll be a mix based on what I'm seeing so far.
Boy. You know, if the property owner is going to do it, I'd really like to see how they're going to approach the maintenance of it. And quite frankly, the city at times has
drop the ball.
Yeah, has failed to inform us of things that have happened out there. I don't know if we need a full-fledged application, but maybe a preliminary report in terms of how it's going to be addressed and how it's going to be maintained in conjunction with the original approval. You know, maybe some brief paperwork like that. It doesn't need to be full. We're going to be in there. We need heavy equipment here. We're going to do it by hand over here. We're going to put up some S&E controls, but it will be restored to the original approval that occurred back whatever the date was. Rather than just getting a crew in there to mow the grass and do whatever and not make sure that basin is maintained as it was originally approved.
So is it fair to say that you're more interested perhaps in the sediment removal and when equipment might be located within the basin as compared to perhaps clearing of some overgrown vegetation? Or is it fair to say that you'd like to see any activity around those structures to be at least proper for you for a formal discussion.
I'd like to see any activity.
I mean, are we talking, you know, there's usually a maintenance schedule where things are done on a yearly basis, and that might be the cutting of some vegetation. But as we get into more complicated work, like the removal of sedimentation, maybe the repair of a culvert, of a sump, so things like that might require much more detailed information. You know, but if it's just cutting by hand, or you know, a lawnmower of vegetation that's at the top of one of these basins or on the sides, you know, I think that can be done with just a one-page report or a two-page report. As we get into more details, you know, in terms of heavier equipment getting in there, the removal of sedimentation, and you know, that stuff usually occurs, you know, at 5-year intervals. You know, maybe a little bit more detailed, and possibly an application before us.
Okay. I agree with Paul. I think that we should have something in writing.
Okay, that's something we can certainly instruct. I don't think anyone's done anything, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone's done anything based on our report and recommendations that would trigger such a review yet, right? You're muted.
I don't know what's going on. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the only one is the one behind Town Fair Tire. There was a lot of overgrowth, and I think the berm has now been fully cleared, but nothing in the bottom of the pond has been touched yet, but otherwise nothing's been going on.
Are there plans to do anything to the bottom of the pond?
We were waiting to find out what the agency's opinion was before they were going to act.
Yeah, I think for something like that, we'd like to know in writing what's being proposed and how they're going to address it. Things like that.
Sarah, you find these people a little reluctant to do the work?
So the Town Fair Tire detention pond is owned by Town Fair Tire. So there was actually a landscaper who they were willing to pay to do this work. But all of the neighborhoods whose responsibility these detention ponds are, there's been a lot of pushback. And yes, they're reluctant. So that's why not much has gone on.
So a lot of these ones that were done more recently in subdivisions in the last, say, 20 years, there's very ironclad language put in the land records that gave the city the full right to enter onto those properties to perform maintenance in the event that the homeowners association fails to do so, and the ability to bill the members of the association or the homeowners in the subdivision for whatever cost the city incurs. So that is something that, and they many of them also had a clause that they had 90 days to review our recommendations and either come up with something that was contradictory, that perhaps had lesser maintenance demands or requirements, or to perform the work. But like Sarah said, Town Fair Tire is the only one thus far that's done anything, although we definitely instructed them to not touch the bottom of the pond or any vegetation within the pond until we talked with you guys about it. So I think we have the direction we need now that they ought to, or that you're expecting them to come to you with some information about what kind of equipment they're going to be using, how long perhaps, what the duration of the work might be, and what specifically they're going to be looking to remove or conduct within the structure itself, and maybe a sketch on the plan, on the approved plan as to where they might be staging. Is that fair?
I think so.
Yeah, we've got to see something.
Yep.
And then you guys can determine if an application is warranted or not. Would that be fair?
I think so.
Fine with me.
Yes,
yeah.
That's good with me.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's the direction we need, right, sir? Oop, muted.
Still muted.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of prior meeting minutes. I'm not familiar with receiving any. I don't know if anybody else did. I didn't get any. But I know at some point they're going to be done, right? That's what I've heard.
We do have all the video and audio for every meeting is available on the city website.
Okay.
Although minutes should be, you know, I'll talk to Mark about that. We've had this discussion probably now 6 meetings in a row, even though we meet sporadically. So it'd be nice if we can get this cleared up on through Mark.
Payment of bills. Do we have any bills, Brian?
Yeah, there are 2 bills. I'm not even sure the city may have actually paid these already, but we did prepare them back in July after our last meeting, which involved the approval at 134 Roosevelt Drive, which was the removal of oil and the construction of a berm. So there's an invoice to based on our review of that application. And there's also an invoice for attendance at 2 meetings and providing technical support to the agency and the 2 meetings in the month of June.
Okay, do you want to tell us what the totals on those are? We can vote on them.
Oh, they should be in the packet, but let me go back.
Okay, they are. Hold on. Let me take a look here. I had so many windows open earlier.
I have invoice number. Invoice number 159406 to the Derby Wetlands Commission Agency, it's a typo, for miscellaneous technical support for prepare for and attend 2 meetings in June, total of 4 hours, a total of $720.00. And the second invoice was for review of application of 134 Roosevelt Drive. The site remediation, review application, prepare 2 comment letters, prepare a draft motion to approve, and site visit to review existing conditions. And that is invoice number 159407 for a total of $1,712.50. Those are the 2 invoices, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Didn't you say that you weren't sure if the city paid them yet?
Well, typically the procedure is that the finance director does not pay invoices that are sent to the commissions until the commissions vote and act on the approval of those. But because the agency hasn't met in several months, some 6 months, I'm that the city may have paid them, but I think just to keep things sort of keeping clear, I'd prefer if you guys approve the invoices. It does give us the backup in the event that the city hasn't paid it yet.
Okay, yeah. I recommend we pay all bills that haven't been paid.
Okay, and Ray, you made the first motion. You want to amend your motion to incorporate that they haven't been paid?
Okay. Yeah.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, your bills are paid. There's no further agenda items, so everybody have a good holiday, Christmas, and our celebrated Hanukkah. And everybody stay safe and have a happy new year.
Thank you. You too, guys.
You too.
Bye, everybody. Happy holidays.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
Bye.